If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, a word about rebuilding foundations. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, David writes, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And let's pray. Lord, we look at a nation today where the foundations are being attacked and destroyed right in front of our very eyes, the foundations of our country, people trying to destroy the foundations of our faith. People have all kinds of radical ideas about what America should look like and what we should do as Christians. I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, what we need to do about it. I pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word. Teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last summer, Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters torched and pillaged and plundered major cities all across the United States. And part of the carnage, they also tore down all kinds of statues and monuments, too. Well, last June 23rd, Madison, Wisconsin, they tore down a statue of Colonel Hans Christian Haig, who, get this, before the Civil War, was an abolitionist and fought against runaway slave catchers and then died fighting for the Union at the Battle of Chickamauga. You say, well, Kevin, that guy really was anti-racist. Why in the world did they tear his statue down? These people are so stupid about history, they didn't even know what they were doing. No, because the scary thing is, they knew exactly what they were doing. Because one of the goals of Black Lives Matter is not just to cancel the memory of slavery in America, but to cancel America, period. Not just tearing down statues, but destroying the very foundations this nation was founded on. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We turn today, Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. In this part of Psalm chapter 11, King David is being attacked by all kinds of enemies. And in our text today, he asks the question, when the foundations are being destroyed, what should the righteous do? And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, in times like these, when the enemy is using race to try to attack and destroy the foundations of our country, we need to do what the Lord is telling us to do. Exactly the same thing that King David did. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, tells us three things that we need to do in order to overcome all the leftist racism and rebuild those age-old foundations. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to rebuild the foundations, we need to wake up. Because in order to rebuild foundations, we first of all have to wake up and realize those foundations are being destroyed to start with. And what's destroying them today is the whole leftist anti-racism movement called critical race theory. So don't just wake up and smell the coffee, wake up and smell the communism, because that's exactly what it is. And there's absolutely nothing new about it because it goes all the way back to the original communist himself, Karl Marx, in the 1800s. Karl Marx had the idea that there's two classes of people, the have-nots and the haves. The workers and the rich people who control the capitalist system and who just use workers in order to get rich and to stay in power. So Marx's idea, the goal of Marxism, was to destroy what he said was the evil capitalist system and replace it with socialism where everybody would be supposedly equal. And as absolutely ridiculous as that is, critical race theory just takes Marx's idea and adds in race. So according to critical race theory, there's two classes of people. Colored people and rich white people who control the capitalist system and just use colored people in order to stay in power and stay rich. So the goal of critical race theory is to destroy what they say is the evil white capitalist system and all the evil white institutions and replace it with socialism where there's not just equality but equity, which means equality of outcome for anybody. Sound familiar these days? Marx said, the old system is so evil, so corrupt, can't be reformed, has to be destroyed. Critical race theory says exactly the same thing. Barack Obama said this, racism exists in every institution of our lives and the legacy of slavery in our nation's DNA and can't be removed except by dismantling the entire present system. Spoken like a true Marxist. The 1619 Project says that America needs to be destroyed because it's so evil and so corrupt because it was founded on slavery. And everything about America is racist and purposely designed to discriminate against black people. And how did Marx say the old system needed to be destroyed? By constant agitation and division. Exactly what we see with critical race theory. Folks, everything today we're told is racist. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg says even America's interstate highway system is racist, for crying out loud. Hammering everything that looks like a nail. Leftist Senator Dick Durbin says the number one threat to America today is white supremacy. Joe Biden said the attack on the Capitol building last January the 6th was all about white supremacy. So we need a big socialist government behind razor wire in Washington, D.C. to protect us from it. Stacey Abrams says America is so corrupt and evil and racist, we need H.R. 1 and nationalized elections so it will be fair for everybody. And we need to replace all the local police departments with a national federal police force, like the SS brown shirts, to facilitate the communist takeover. Folks, everything about critical race theory is based on lies. And because Proverbs 6:19 says God hates people stirring up dissension, everything about critical race theory is totally opposite of everything about the Bible and everything about the civil rights movement. Critical race theory is just another leftist attempt to take over this country. You say, Kevin, that's a conspiracy theory. No, a conspiracy theory isn't a conspiracy theory if it's true. This is the real number one threat to this country. The real pandemic in America today is not COVID, it's critical race theory. And their goon squad is Black Lives Matter. And how do you know the two are related? One of the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, said this: "We are trained Marxists, first and foremost." Bingo. And last summer, after the death of George Floyd, they started the revolution with riots and protests all over America that killed dozens and dozens of innocent citizens and injured over 2,000 police officers and did over $2 billion of property damage all across the United States. Folks, Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist organization, and BLM really stands for burn, loot, and murder. And the question is, if Black Lives really does care about Black Lives, Black Lives Matter really does care about Black Lives, why aren't they out patrolling inner city black neighborhoods to stop all the shooting that's going on there? Don Lemon on CNN said this: BLM was founded only to call attention to police brutality against black people, nothing else. No, no. Because the original BLM website that's now been taken down after too many people finally got wise to what they really are said this: "We exist to dismantle Western society. We dismantle patriarchal practices. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. We foster a queer-affirming network, pro-abortion, pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel." I could go on and on. Did you hear anything in that description about Black Lives Matter existing to help black people or to improve the lives of black people? Absolutely not. And you know why? Because Black Lives Matter is not about anti-racism. It's about Marxism and destroying this country. And you talk about a scam. March of 2020, Breonna Taylor got shot and killed by a policeman in Louisville, Kentucky. And when the Black Lives Matter circus rolled into town, they didn't do anything for her or her family. All they did was use her death to raise money for Black Lives Matter. Breonna Taylor's mother, Tamika Parker, said this: "BLM has never personally contacted me or dealt with me in any way. All they did was use the death of my daughter to raise money for Black Lives Matter. They are nothing but frauds." See, Black Lives Matter, but green money matters even more, doesn't it? And folks, in spite of all of that, in spite of all the destruction, Black Lives Matter rules. The media, social media, Hollywood, entertainment, sports, education, the Democrat Party, the White House, Black Lives Matter even uses McDonald's to make commercials for them, for crying out loud. It's everywhere. But the question is, what is critical race theory and Black Lives Matter really producing? Racism. Because they're both racist. Ibram Kendi, the Pope of the critical race theory, says this: sometimes discrimination is necessary to create equity. So even if it's racist, it's still anti-racist. People, it's ridiculous. And racist at the same time. They produce destruction. Last fall, they took the intersection in Minneapolis where George Floyd died, dedicated to his memory, and called it George Floyd Way. But today, because of all the protests and all the defunding of the police, the crime rate, the murder rate in that neighborhood is so bad, route drivers won't even make deliveries there in the daytime. So much for George Floyd's legacy. People, look, just look at what all this leftist anti-racism is doing to this country. Just look at what it's doing to individual people. Last April the 23rd, San Dimas, California, an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy pulled over a woman in a white Mercedes for talking on her phone while driving. The cop was Hispanic. The woman was black. And I'm not showing this video to try to tell anybody that all black people act like this, because they certainly don't. And because this woman with this kind of snark against the police could be anybody today, given our current environment.
An L.A. County Sheriff's deputy pulls over a white Mercedes after spotting the driver on a cell phone. Body cam video of the traffic stop now going viral and the subject of a Sheriff's Department investigation. The driver recording the encounter on her phone as the deputy approaches.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Good morning.
What is, and the speed limit is 40 and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled you over because
You're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because
you can't
you're a murderer.
The interaction quickly turning confrontational as the woman questions the officer's motives for the stop.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared
me. You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
The deputy eventually telling the woman she too is being recorded.
They're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
Some,
well, you, I'll tell you what, you keep smiling,
yeah,
you're on camera.
The deputy is wearing a body cam. The LA County Sheriff's Department is in the midst of rolling out body cams to all of its deputies, but this officer has yet to receive one. He's wearing a personal body cam.
It records and documents the incident, and there's no question about what was said or what was shown. It's all pretty straightforward right there. So it does protect them greatly, and it does protect the citizen that they're contacting, too.
Tonight, the sheriff tweeting this reaction to the video, saying, "This deputy exemplifies the core values of our department. His demeanor during the traffic stop is just an example of professionalism and patience our deputies have." Another officer arrives on scene to help defuse the situation, and this is what happens next.
All you need to do is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasco.
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
You're a murderer trying to kill me and my son. Are you kidding me? And people, God help us, why in the world would anybody want to be a policeman today? Can you believe how patient and calm that guy was through that whole tirade? But you know what else? Look at what we've become, people. Look at what all this anti-racism nonsense has done to this country. Look at what Black Lives Matter and critical race theory is producing in this country. People who are so obsessed with race, they are racist themselves to the core. So Christians, if we don't wake up and realize what this anti-racism movement is doing to this country, how it's destroying people's souls and destroying this nation, and we don't start sharing the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ and rebuilding these foundations, it really is over. The first thing that we need to do in order to rebuild the foundations, we need to wake up. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to rebuild the foundations. We not only need to wake up, we also need to speak up. We need to speak up with the truth. But this is something that the vast majority of Christians do not want to do. And you know why? Kevin, I don't want anybody to think I'm a racist. Kevin, I don't want anybody calling me names. Again, welcome to my world. There's not one verse anywhere in that Bible that says worry about what people are going to think of you. So when it comes to leftists and anti-racists today, don't just tolerate it. Don't just put up with it. Don't shut up. Speak up. Amen. Speak up with the truth. Parents, you got to speak up to your kids because the left has a target on your kids every single day. And if you think your kids are too small to be influenced by it, guess again. Today, there are Black Lives Matter video games for your kids to play. Barbie and Nikki talk about white privilege and Black Lives Matter on the Barbie vlogs on the YouTube channel. And last summer, Black Lives Matter even did an episode of Sesame Street, for heaven's sakes. And what's the result? Kim Kardashian's biracial daughter, North, says she is scared to death of white people today. Gee, I wonder why. Last Monday, I spoke to a 13-year-old guy who rides his mini bike once in a while on the road back and forth in front of his house. Do you know what question he asked me? If a cop ever stopped him for riding an unlicensed bike on the road, why would he want to kill me? What? What? Where in the world did he get this idea that all cops are serial killers? I'll tell you. From the homegrown terrorist account on Instagram and that oldie but goldie rap song by NWA called F the Police. Parents, you've got to speak to your kids. You tell your kids America is not evil and racist. You tell your kids that white people are not bad just because they're white. That all cops are not racist. That criminals are responsible for the crimes that we commit. And policemen are necessary to stop those crimes. Speak up. Parents, what are your kids learning in school? Last month, a woman sent me some instructions that her daughter, a teacher here in the state of Illinois, instructions that her daughter got from her school about the new culturally relevant teaching standards. This is what the school told her. We have to convince students that socialism is a good thing, that so-called great men like Abraham Lincoln were racist, that Martin Luther King taught the same things as Malcolm X, and that progressive teaching is superior to the beliefs of intolerant, racist, Christian Jesus lovers. They are teaching our kids to hate God and hate this country. Parents, if your kids go to a school where they're using the 1619 Project, Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, or Teaching Tolerance by Southern Poverty Law Center, get your kids out of that school as fast as you possibly can. Alan Gutman from New York City had a daughter in the sixth grade at the very private exclusive school, Brearley Academy. $54,000 a year tuition. And that girl had gone to that school since she was in kindergarten. But when Dad found out that that wokeness at that school was turning his daughter into Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, he pulled her out for good and wrote a letter to all the parents of all the other 650 kids in that school. This is what part of that letter said. By viewing every element of education, every aspect of history, every facet of society through the lens of skin, color, and race, you are desecrating the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And school policies encourage kids to judge and to be judged by the color of their skin and to hate all who are different. Brearley is now teaching children to be full-blown racist. And the application process now requires at least one parent or guardian to participate in required anti-racist training. And that was the last straw. Somebody had to speak up. Everybody's so afraid of cancel culture today. We're going to destroy this country if we don't speak up. Amen, Christians. And we need to speak up too. We need to speak up about something the anti-racists don't want to talk about at all today. And that's black-on-black crime. Because the left wants you to think the biggest problem is policemen killing black people and not black people killing each other, which is exactly the case. Black activist and attorney Ben Crum says police in America are now committing genocide against black people. But do you know how many black people were shot and killed by police in America last year? How many? Not in one county, not in one state, not in one region. The entire United States last year, 19. Not 19,000 or 1,900, 19. Not exactly genocide. Here's the statistics. 2020, 2,034 Americans were shot and killed by police. 19 of them were black. The police kill far more white people than they do black people. Over 8,600 black people were killed by other black people last year, more than the number of black people who were killed as soldiers in the entire Vietnam War. Here's the statistics for the shootings in Chicago. 2021, as of yesterday, 1,042 shootings. 210 dead, 178 of them black people killed by other black people. Shootings by police of black or Hispanic people in Chicago, 8. 5 wounded, 3 dead. And all the left wants to focus on is those last 8. Because they don't give a rip about any of the other ones. Last April the 11th, 7-year-old Jaslyn Adams was killed in a drive-by by that guy right there as she and her father sat in the car to drive through at McDonald's. She wasn't killed by systemic racism or white privilege or a bad white cop. That black girl was killed by that black man. But except for Mayor Lori Lightfoot saying her usual, "This is unacceptable," nothing happened. No marches, no protests, nothing got looted or burned down, no monuments or statues were destroyed, no demand for the political leaders of the city of Chicago to step down or get out of office, nothing happened. 9 days later, the entire left celebrated the guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial like it was the 4th of July, but still nothing for Jaslyn Adams. And you know why? Because LeBron James, Maxine Waters, Black Lives Matter doesn't give a flying leap about her. Black Lives Matter only cares about black lives when they're shot and killed by a white policeman. Other than that, it's perfectly fine for black lives like hers sitting in a car waiting for chicken McNuggets to be blasted away and used as cannon fodder by black gangbangers. People, the hypocrisy takes your breath away. And if there's somebody listening to this sermon right now and you're connected with Black Lives Matter or you're cozy at all with that organization and the idea behind it, listen to me. Don't you dare lecture me about justice and equity and compassion. When half of all new black babies in this country every single year are killed by abortion and Planned Parenthood and you're promoting it. Last year you burned the entire country to the ground over a drug addict named George Floyd, but not one single thing, not even one word about 19 million black babies, 19 million cut up like stew meat since 1973. You won't speak up about them, I will. And may God have mercy on your soul for your silence. We've got to speak up. We've got to speak up about all the black people who have died at the hands of police in the news lately. Because Black Lives Matter is lying and telling you that the criminals are the heroes. Anti-racists say all the time that they want justice. They want justice. Psalm chapter 89 verse 14 says there can't be any justice unless there's righteousness. Which means people have to man up and take responsibility for the crimes that they commit. And where do you see any of that in these cases? Derek Chauvin was a problem cop who had years of complaints against him for police brutality. But George Floyd also had a long history of drug arrests. And his MO, every time the cops would arrest him, he would swallow his whole stash of fentanyl because he knew that would get him taken to the hospital instead of being taken to jail. The original Hennepin County autopsy said George Floyd died of a drug overdose and nothing else. 13-year-old Adam Toledo, shot and killed by a Chicago cop last March the 29th. And his mom and all kinds of protesters screaming bloody murder. The truth is, Adam Toledo had just joined the Latin Kings and had the tattoo to prove it. Running the little village with a 21-year-old gangbanger, shooting at cars, chased by the cop, he turned toward the cop with a gun in his hand and got shot and killed. And the question is, if mom really did care about him, why didn't she report him missing for 2 whole days? Why didn't that parent know where her 13-year-old kid was at 2:30 in the morning? This guy knows where his 13-year-old kid is at 2:30 in the morning. Responsibility. Andrew Brown, shot and killed by police in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, last April the 21st. Andrew Brown was a career drug dealer with a rap sheet 180 pages long. And when police were about to arrest him again for a drug trafficking again, he started ramming into the police with his car and got shot and killed. Now, I am not standing up here today and saying that these lives weren't precious, especially precious to God, because they certainly were. And I'm not saying that none of those people had people in their lives that really loved them and cared about them, because they certainly did. And I'm not saying it's tragic, because every single one of those losses breaks your heart. But the fact is, you're a lot less likely to get killed by the police if you're not doing something illegal.
That's right.
Speak up for responsibility. One of the foundations of this country. Christians, we got to speak up for the truth, no matter who it is that we have to speak up to. Last April the 20th, Columbus, Ohio, police officer Nicholas Reardon had to shoot and kill 16-year-old Makia Bryant in order to save the life of the other black girl that she was about to stab and kill. Justified shoot written all over it. But of course, everybody on the left completely ignored the circumstances and said just another example of another innocent black person being killed by a white racist cop. And nobody did that better than NBA star LeBron James, who thinks because he plays basketball, he's an expert on policing and race relations. So just moments after that shooting, LeBron James poured even more gas on the fire by tweeting out a picture of Officer Nicholas Reardon with a caption on top that said, "You're next." And what did he mean by that? Because LeBron James has 50 million followers on Twitter. And by putting that cop's picture out there without his face blacked out, it looks like he's putting a target on him and asking somebody to kill him and take him out. So LeBron James got his Twitter account suspended for inciting violence, right? Yeah, when pigs fly. President Trump told people to peacefully protest last January the 6th. His Twitter account got suspended forever. LeBron James makes a death threat against a police officer and nobody says boo. And why? Because he's King James. NBA superstar. Sports Illustrated athlete of the decade. Number one cheerleader for Black Lives Matter. Who led voter drives for Joe Biden. And who defends communist China to the hilt, because he's going to make over $1 billion with Nike shoe contracts over there. And nobody ever, ever, ever mentions that to him in the media. Nobody ever, ever, ever speaks up to LeBron James. But what do you know? This time, some people actually did. So many people got all over him for posting that cop's picture, he eventually pulled it down because he said it was generating too much hate. Because LeBron James doesn't realize that tweet was the hate. He was generating the hate by putting that picture out there to start with. And then a guy named Jay Linneman, owner of Lenny's Pub in Cincinnati, Ohio, made an announcement. He was so sick of LeBron James in the NBA, he was no longer going to be showing any more NBA basketball games in his sports bar until the NBA kicked LeBron James out of the league. And what do you know? As of when he made that announcement, ever since then, April the 23rd, Lenny's Pub has been absolutely swamped. More customers and business than that guy's ever had in the history of the whole place. So much he put a sign out front that said, "Thanks, LeBron. Lenny's has never been busier. Speak up, people." 2 days after LeBron James put that cop's picture out there, another cop, Officer Nate Sylvester from Bellevue, Idaho, put together a TikTok video. And through that, sent this message to LeBron James. "Officer Reardon did the right thing and shouldn't be criticized by people like you. Just because what he did was tragic doesn't mean it wasn't justified. You have no idea what it's like to be in a situation like that. And we have to speak out about these things. Somebody has to be the voice for law enforcement." And even though that message was spot on, Officer Nate Sylvester got fired for sending that to LeBron James. But what do you know? There was such a hue and cry. The sheriff's office in Bellevue, Idaho got so much flack for canning the guy. Last Thursday, Nate Sylvester got his job back. And not only that, he also signed a book deal with D'Angelo Publishing for a title he'd been working on called Never Off Duty. And not only that, he also got $500,000 in a GoFundMe account that somebody had set up for him, most of which he's going to dedicate and donate to the First Responders Children's Fund. But people, does it pay to speak up and tell it like it is or what? Speak up! But the best response of all to LeBron James came from another cop. A cop from California named Dion Joseph. And it shouldn't matter, but just so happens, Dion Joseph is black. This is the message he sent to LeBron James. "I'm not going to come to you from a place of hatred. There will be no name calling on my part. Your current stance on police is so far off and extreme. Your tweet that targeted a police officer in Ohio who saved a young woman's life was irresponsible and disturbing. It showed a complete lack of understanding of our job in the heat of the moment. You basically put a target on the head of a human being who made a split-second decision to save a life from a deadly attack. So the offer is on the table, LeBron. No cameras, no fanfare, just two men who care talking. I know it's a long shot, but this division and hatred has got to stop. Bridges need to be built to save lives on all sides. Just let me know. Now, to this day, I've never heard that LeBron James has taken him up on that offer. And between you and me, I wouldn't hold my breath. But Christians, listen to me. That is still exactly the way that we need to respond to anybody who's doing the whole leftist anti-racist claptrap today. You don't need to be lectured by people like LeBron James. You don't just tolerate what they say or put up with it and take it. You engage it and take it on. But how do you do it? Just like Officer Dion Joseph did. Matthew 10:16. Wary as serpents, but gentle as doves. Christians, speak up, because somebody, even if it's not LeBron James, somebody that God has appointed will listen to you. The second thing we need to do in order to rebuild foundations, we need to speak up. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to rebuild foundations. We not only need to wake up, we not only need to speak up, but third, we need to look up. We need to look up to God. Because folks, turning to the Lord is the only hope that we have. The real problem with racism in America is not just sociological, it's spiritual. People not only need to change their minds, they also need to change their hearts. And God is the only one who can do that. So we need to look up to the Lord. Because you tell me, what else is ever going to rebuild those foundations or bring people together? During the civil rights movement, Dr. Martin Luther King protested by marches. Today, anti-racists are protesting by riots and murder. See the difference? And anti-racists today absolutely hate Dr. Martin Luther King because he's a Christian, a Baptist pastor who preached forgiveness and reconciliation and colorblindness and nonviolence in order to reform society. Things that anti-racists today want absolutely nothing to do with. What's the slogan again for Black Lives Matter? No forgiveness, no reconciliation. And why? Because they don't want to reform the system. They want to burn the whole system to the ground. See the message on that protester's shirt? This ain't your mama's civil rights movement. You know what? She ain't just whistling Dixie, because that is exactly the reason why America today is still such an absolute mess. Defunding the police isn't going to bring people together. It's just going to turn America into Wild Wild West. I don't know one cop today that isn't thinking about quitting. And folks, if that's the case, if that happens, praise the Lord, pass the ammunition and lock and load. Christians, we need to be looking to God like never before, like nobody's business. Reparations are not going to bring us together. Making people who never owned slaves give money to people who never were slaves. Are you kidding me? I've gotten letters from black people over the years asking me, Kevin, don't you feel any latent slave guilt because you're white? No. Because I'm not guilty of something that other white people did 200 years ago that I'd never done myself. And you don't deserve something because of something that never happened to you. That just happened 200 years ago to other black people who just looked like you. Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 19 and 20 says that God does not hold people responsible for the sins of their ancestors. So why in the world do you think you can? You want reparations? Get the Democrats to pay them, because they're the ones who own the slaves. No socialist utopia is going to bring us together. Because how many other countries of the world already been there, done that? And what did they find? Next to the devil himself, socialism is the greatest source of human misery and suffering in the history of the whole wide world, that's murdered over 200 million people in just the last 100 years. Every socialist utopia always, always, always turns into a hellhole. No, thank you. Christians, we need to look up. And we need to remember, our faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely the number one thing that determines who we are, regardless of your race or skin color. So can all this nonsense about being a white Christian or a black Christian or a Hispanic Christian, Galatians 3:28 says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, white, black, yellow, red, brown. You are a Christian, period, end of sentence. Which means your commitment to Jesus Christ is far more important than any other commitment in this world that you think you may have. Last NFL season, all the Pittsburgh Steelers decided they'd do the social justice thing and put a name on the back of their helmet. Somebody who had been killed, somebody black who had been killed by a police officer somewhere in the United States. So as a team, they decided that they would use the name Antoine Rose, a 17-year-old black kid who was shot and killed by police back in 2019. But the center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Marquise Ponce, retired last February, is a Christian. And when he found out that Antoine Rose was involved in a drive-by shooting and had actually shot at the cop that shot and killed him, he realized as a Christian, he could not honor that. So even though everybody else on the Steelers team, all of his teammates had Antoine Rose on the back of their helmet, and even though it is a big hairy deal to go against all the rest of your teammates for absolutely anything, especially at the pro level, Marquise Ponce put the name Eric Kelly on the back of his helmet. A police officer who was killed in the line of duty back in 2009. Only one on his team. And why did Marquise Ponce do that? This is what he said. I am a Christian, and that means my commitment to Christ trumps every other commitment in my life. So I am a Christian even before I'm black. I'm a Christian even before I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. My first priority, my number one duty, is to do what the Lord says, not what anybody else says. So even though I'm a member of a team that I give my heart and soul and all my strength to play for, and I would die in battle for any of these guys here, I have to do what Jesus tells me to do more than anybody or anything else. Jesus said, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if I am not absolutely the most important thing in your life, period, end of sentence, you are not a disciple of mine. We got to lift up the Lord. We got to look to Him. And there's some Christians listening to this sermon right now. I got to ask you, if you really are lifting up the Lord and looking to Him, how in the world can you support Black Lives Matter? You see all the BLM signs in front of churches all across America today? How in the world can you support anything that's anti-God and slams the Bible and pushes abortion and homosexuality and racism and tries to destroy this family and is trying to destroy this country? You say, but Kevin, we need something to change people's hearts and bring everybody together. Christians, we already have something that'll change people's hearts and bring everybody together. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, but Kevin, Jesus would have said Black Lives Matter. No, Jesus would have said the heck with all colors because all lives matter. Because He died for all and He calls all to come to Him and get saved and become one in Christ. But there's some black people listening to this sermon right now. That's never going to happen for you until you forgive. There's some black people listening to the sermon right now. Some white people did some really bad things to you that really hurt you. Things they never did to me. They hurt you in ways that I can't even begin to imagine or understand, and I don't pretend to. But there comes a time you have got to forgive them. Now, is forgiveness fair? No. But somebody who was owed a lot bigger debt than you showed us that forgiveness is the only way out of the hurt. And it doesn't mean that forgiveness is easy. It just means you take that hurt, you lay it down on the road, and you start walking away. And even though the hurt is still there, the hurt hurts less and less the closer you get to Jesus. So the question is, do you want peace or do you want constant, never-ending war? God decided He wanted peace with us so much He paid dearly for it. The death of His Son Jesus Christ on the cross. He realized the payoff was worth more than the cost. So the question is, what about you? I will never ever be able to compensate for what you went through or what you suffered at the hands of white people. But Jesus can. If you forgive. You've got to look to Him. And people, do we realize what an incredible blessing it is when we do look to God and trust Him and turn to Him and put our faith in Him to heal the problem with racism in this country? August 26, 2016, before the start of the 49ers' third preseason game against the Green Bay Packers, second string 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the playing of the national anthem to protest what he said was police brutality against black people. And then other NFL players on other NFL teams started doing it too, even during the regular season. And even though millions and millions of NFL fans, especially military veterans and policemen, thought those players were traitors, and even though the rule in the NFL is all players will stand for the national anthem, Commissioner Roger Goodell said he wouldn't punish any players who don't. So to this day, 5 years later, NFL players still take a knee for the national anthem. And of course, it spread to other sports too. Opening day 2020, Major League Baseball season, all but a handful of players took a knee during the playing of the national anthem and held on to a black cloth in support of Black Lives Matter. Major League Baseball players are still taking a knee during the national anthem today. The worst, however, was the NBA, because during their 16-game team tournament in Orlando last summer, Black Lives Matter, the words were even painted on the court. And players wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts for warm-ups and even wore social justice slogans on the back of their jerseys. And except for one player, Jonathan Isaacs of the Orlando Magic, every single player and coach and ball boy on those NBA teams took a knee during the playing of the national anthem. And even though Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, said this year, no floor logos, no justice slogans on the back of jerseys, NBA players are still taking a knee during the national anthem. And the question is, what is all that kneeling and protesting accomplishing? What does it accomplish except making Colin Kaepernick rich with a $50 million contract from Nike? Right. And it's not just black players that are doing it. White and Hispanic players are doing it too. But what is it accomplishing? Because I'll tell you, it's destroying professional sports. For 5 years now, former NFL fans have been burning football memorabilia. And ratings for last year's Super Bowl were some of the worst ever in the history of the league. Ratings for Major League Baseball are going through the floor. And the NBA is even worse because last year's championship series had the worst audience ever for an NBA final. And NBA ratings are tanking this year too. So who did all those players think they were impressing? They weren't impressing me. Because right now I couldn't care less about Major League Baseball. I wouldn't watch the NBA if they played it in my backyard, and except for one slot receiver on the Minnesota Vikings, the rest of the NFL can go fly a kite too. What is all the kneeling and the protesting accomplishing? What is it accomplishing in our country? Because black inner city neighborhoods are still shooting galleries. Young black men are still killing other young black men by the train load. And America's still seeing some of the worst race riots and worst racial incidents since 1968. LeBron James said this, "Nothing has changed since the death of George Floyd. Nothing." And you know why? The picture you see on the screen is Reverend Martin Luther King and another Baptist pastor and civil rights leader, Ralph Abernathy, along with 250 other civil rights leaders and marchers, February 1st, 1965, Selma, Alabama, after they'd just been arrested for protesting without a permit outside the Dallas County Courthouse there, trying to fight and get black people in the state of Alabama the right to vote. And notice the difference between these black people and those black people. Because the world called these black people superstars. The world called those black people scum of the earth. Because see, they didn't get paid a gazillion dollars a year to play a game. They didn't live in million-dollar cribs in gated communities with private security guards. They didn't drive Maseratis and Lamborghinis and Cadillac Escalades. They were poor. They got spit on and beat up and put in jail and had police dogs and fire hoses turned on them and got death threats. Men in white hoods wanted to hang them from a tree. These black people never suffered one day for any righteous cause in their entire lives. These black people did. And because of that, these black people changed the country. They changed history. They changed the United States Constitution, for crying out loud, and made life better for millions and millions and millions of other black people in this country for years and years to come. And you know why those black people were able to accomplish that? And these black people haven't been able to accomplish diddly squat? Notice they're both kneeling. They're both taking a knee. But their heads are up. Their heads are not down. They're protesting. They're praying. That is of man. This is of God. That says, God, we don't need you. This says, God, we need you like crazy. That's being done to be seen by people. This is being done to be heard by God. That divides a nation. This unites a nation. That changes nothing. This changes people's hearts. That hates. This heals. The civil rights movement was founded on Jesus Christ, led by the church and powered by prayer. That's why this worked. And that's why that will never work at all. When the foundations are destroyed, what should the righteous do? First of all, righteous, we don't panic. And why? Because verses 4 and 5 in this chapter says God is still in heaven. God is still sitting on His throne, watching and knowing everything that's going on in this country and hating all the fighting and the arguing and the dividing and the destruction and the violence that's going on in this country. We do not panic because verse 6 says there is a judgment day when everybody who's doing all the dividing and the destroying is going to get theirs and going to be paid back. Amen. We do not panic because Christians, one day we know very soon we win. Until that time comes, what do? We wake up, we speak up, and we look up. Get your head out of the sand and start realizing what is really going on in this country so you can be relevant as a believer in 2021 America. And then you speak up, you share the gospel, speak up and share the truth. You don't let anybody intimidate you. You don't let anybody marginalize you. You don't let anybody silence you. And most importantly, you look up. And you pray. Because the battle for people's hearts, the battle for this country is a spiritual battle. And the best way to fight it, the best way to take a stand is on our knees. And you know what, Christians? If we would take a knee and pray like those civil rights leaders did 50, 60, 70 years ago, we could rebuild the foundations of this country. We could change this country. We could change history. We could bring millions and millions of people into the kingdom of God, all races and colors, until Jesus comes again. Let's start doing that. Let's take a knee right now in our hearts and let's cry out to God. Lord, You are sitting on the throne. You see everything from heaven. You knew very well what's going on in our nation. Serious time, very critical time in our nation's history when our people, Lord, need to decide what kind of nation we're going to be. Lord, there are so many people in America right now who are trying to stir up division and divide and destroy. Lord, You planted us here at this time in this nation's history for this reason. There are so many people, Lord, who need to know You. I pray, Lord, that we'd be sharing the gospel. I pray You'd give us opportunities. You'd open our mouths and fill them with Your word. I pray, Lord, we would see the need around us, Lord, and we would not be silent. We would speak up and tell the truth. Most of all, Lord, we would be on our knees crying out to You for this nation. God, we need You. There is no hope for America outside of You and Your Holy Spirit being poured out. Pray You would come and start that process here at Fox River in us. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.